So today I'm with Cathy Reynolds in Neston, which is right next to Corsham, and you're the MU, you run the MU for Corsham, but you are deanery rep as well, aren't you?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, I'm the Diocese of Bristol Mothers Union Diocesan Chaplain, which has led me on many adventures, I have to say, more than I was initially expecting it to. So where did we first meet, Cathy?
I think we first met when you came to a deanery service at Corsham Church.
Was that the Advent one? Or it might have been a summer one?
I can't remember which, but that was the first time we met. And I think it was when you were new in post.
Gosh, that's a long time ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you drink tea?
Yes, I do.
And what's your favourite cup of tea, either brand or time of day?
I like Yorkshire tea and I usually drink it first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big tea drinker, but I think it gives you a good start for the day.
So what do you drink during the rest of the day? Are you a coffee drinker?
No. I drink tea at lunchtime and again at tea time, and I usually have a couple of cups of coffee a day, that's all.
I expect people will be going, but your mother's union must drink tea.
I think that is a fallacy that's all mother's union do.
So I need to ask you about the question which I'm asking everybody. Is how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think that's probably true. I feel sad that more young people are not coming to church and wanting to belong to a Christian family like they used to, but maybe we're meant to have this lull and it may improve again one day. A bit like the prodigal son, maybe we need to go away sometimes to come back and be welcomed.
Are you involved in the Messy Church at St Bartholomew's at
all? No, I'm not.
No, I haven't been. I keep on meaning to have a sneaky visit.
I've been in once. When it started, I didn't appreciate that the idea was that people didn't come to church. It was their church, Messy Church. Some of them do come to church. And I think it probably is filling a need, but how it will develop, I don't really know.
I think we don't know yet what the long-term impact is for people who go to those sorts of activities. So your specialist question is, what does it mean to belong to a local Mothers Union branch?
I've been a member since 1984, I think it was. I joined because my mum always went. And there was always an afternoon group in Corsham, but there was nothing for younger mums, so I started an evening group, and although it was Young Wives, used to be called Young Wives, we decided we would call it Mothers Union because we felt that was important. Gradually that sort of dropped out, and then I left for a while I was working full time, and then when I retired I came back and there was no one to lead Corsham, so I took that on. And I think it is so important. Most of the ladies are quite elderly, and they have done an awful lot in their time, but they feel, some of them feel now that because of their age and infirmities, they can't do as much. But I always remind them that at least they can pray. And as long as we're all praying, then some good will be done somewhere. There are a lot of things that we could get involved in, and a lot of our ladies are involved in things in the church, although it may not be under the umbrella of the Mothers Union, because the church does a lot of things which the Mothers Union does. But I think in other countries the needs are very different to in our own country, but the way society is now, I think there are a lot of similar things that are happening in our own country, although it perhaps doesn't manifest itself in quite the same way. And I think the whole ethos of the Mothers Union is Christian family life, and that's what seems to be missing, and that's what we need to encourage.
What does being a member of the MU do for you in a kind of how you feel connected with other MU members around the world?
We don't have an awful lot of contact with other members, but for instance, my brother has been to South Africa, and because, I mean, he's a Mothers Union chaplain, and my sister-in-law's Mothers Union, and because they were Mothers Union, the Mothers Union there really welcomed them, and they did feel part of it. We don't seem to get many visits from them these days. I think years ago we used to probably have more visits, and you really began to feel that you belonged to something which you could relate to with other people from different parts of the world.
So your third specialist question is, what's the best thing about Corsham?
I don't feel there's a terrific community feeling in Corsham. There's a bit of, if you belong, you belong, but if you're on the fringe, I mean, my community, I suppose you could say, is in my church. It's a shame that there isn't more of a community feel. I would imagine years ago there probably was, but like everywhere now, shops are closing, so people are going further afield. They've all got cars, so they go to supermarkets. So the whole thing about the town itself, it's almost as if it's dying, which is a shame. But I like living here because it's fairly peaceful. You're away from the madding crowd, if you like. And you do get to know people, whereas in a big city you don't. So, and we're near cities if we want to go to them. Mm. And we can get to anywhere in the country, really, from here. It's just so central. Can't think what else, really.
It's interesting. Just as you were speaking, I was thinking about how it's almost like high street shops are suffering in the same way as the church, because yeah, it relied on a different model of living, yeah, and we don't live in that way anymore. So
that's right.
I think the church is probably going to survive better than the high street.
Mm.
But it'd be interesting to see how that that works out, because people do keep starting shops in Corsham, but they don't seem to be sustainable. But then there's a whole thing about shop rents and all that sort of stuff, isn't there?
I think too, years ago you had your parish priest who just had the church, and so you were like one big family. But now they've got to spread themselves so wide, you've lost a bit of that sort of family feel, which is a shame. And you know, the vicar would be walking up and down the street more and meeting people in the street and talking to strangers and things like that, whereas now they haven't got time because you're spread so thinly and your time is, you're just rushing from one thing to another.
Yeah, well, the job that I do 40 years ago was done by three men.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're all the same.
So.
And you know, very often at the end of the service, you always had time to have a chat or whatever, but very often now they've got to dash off to do something else. So you've lost that, and I wonder if that affects people. I don't know. Whether it affects, I know that's not what it's all about, but does that sort of put people off? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't put me off.
I think it does have an effect.
Yeah.
And having a community presence of visible Christians, whether they need to be the priest is quite interesting question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but a lot of people do feel that because, you know, if you've got something to discuss, you know that it can be done in confidence. Whereas with a lay person, yeah, you can talk to a lay person, but if you had something you were really concerned about, you perhaps wouldn't want to tell.
It's one of the reasons why we have the midweek communions. So we have one in Box and one in Killen. And I know it's not accessible for people who are working in the same way, but I am almost always on Wednesday in Box and on Thursday in Killen, and so people know that.
You can talk
either to me or to whoever's taking the service. It's usually me.
Yeah.
But there will always be someone there.
Yeah. So, it's like when you talk to your doctor, isn't it? It's all in confidence, and it must be difficult for you, I think, as well, because you just feel that, you know.
Somebody did once put on my ministerial feedback form, Janet is always rushing, always looks like she's rushing. And I'm like, that's because I am.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Please don't complain about me seeming rushed.
No.
Unless you're going to try and fix the structural problems in the Church of England.
No.
I do try not to run up the path to Ditteridge quite so much now. I think a few people in Ditteridge are used to be arriving breathless, which is not good. I stop halfway up the path now and catch my breath. I almost always have time.
Yeah.
The last question is, what's your favourite thing beginning with tea?
I ought to say my husband, didn't I?
Well, presumably he's not the husband. What's his name?
Terry,
I've forgotten. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Since it'll be on the internet and everything.
Well, especially since we've been married 51 years. I mean,
that's a good innings, isn't it?
Yeah.
You probably ought to, Kathy. What would be your second favourite thing beginning with tea?
Gosh, this is hard. Thankful. I'm not that young, but I'm healthy. And I'm thankful that my husband is healthy and that we can do things that perhaps we haven't had time to do when we were younger because of other commitments that we had at that time. And thankful that I have a faith.
Oh, That's the first person to choose thankfulness. So, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of things that without it, we probably wouldn't have coped very well. And people that haven't got a faith, I don't know how they cope with things that they're faced with in life.
I'm going to say thank you very much for seeing me this afternoon, Kathy.
That's okay.